we're strapped in a metal tube. You know, if I make someone angry, I'm stuck.
Hey there, I'm Julie. Welcome to Uncomfy, a podcast about sticking with moments that challenge us. We share the stories of real people in moments that challenge their perspective. And instead of getting angry or shutting down, they stuck with the discomfort. They stayed curious and open. They're glad they did. We hope these stories inspire you to stick with it too, because there is so much to gain. New empathy, deeper relationships, and more clarity about our own views. I'm glad you're here. Now, let's get uncomfy. Here's a story about a late night flight and an unwelcome conversation. I'm joined now by Piper Hendricks. She's the founder and CEO of Stories Change Power. It's a nonprofit that helps advocacy groups and individuals to understand the power of story and tell their stories to make things happen. And Piper and I actually met just recently at the Braver Angels National Convention in Kenosha, Wisconsin. So Braver Angels is an organization that is working to depolarize America along political lines. And we had lots of opportunity to encounter people with different perspectives. Some uncomfy experiences for all of us, I think we'll admit, but also really just to think about what it means to listen with curiosity and humility to perspectives that challenge us. Piper, welcome. It's great to have you on Uncomfy today.
Thanks so much, Julie. It's wonderful to be here.
So you're on a plane when this stick with it moment happens. So where are you flying from? Where are you going to?
I was flying back from Denver, Colorado to DC really late at night and just very, very tired. And so it was an interesting time for a surprising conversation and one that was a bit challenging.
If I'm being honest, all airplane seatmate conversations are uncomfy for me. And I'm one of these people that's like headphones in, don't make eye contact. I don't want to have to talk to anybody because we are trapped. And yeah. We might be trapped for hours. And I don't want to have to go there. But what were you doing? Like sort of what was your demeanor? What were you up to on that flight before the conversation happened?
Yeah. Well, it's so funny, Julie. I'm kind of the opposite, much to the horror of many of my friends, where I'm open to conversations and sometimes I even initiate them. I hope never in a way that's made anybody else uncomfortable. I try to read the room a bit. And if they'd prefer to be headphones or book, that's fine. But I've had some really interesting conversations. But you're absolutely right. You are strapped into a metal tube and there's no going anywhere. But I had spent a lot of the flight doing something that is very personal to me, but I'll share with your listeners. Every month, I will write a letter to myself, and it's a practice that I started back in college when I realized that I would get really anxious and nervous about an upcoming exam. And then a few weeks later after the exam, it was like nothing even happened. And so I thought if I could remind myself that the things that seem just so daunting in advance, you know, look like molehills in the rearview mirror, then maybe they won't look so daunting in advance. And it's something that's grown into a much larger practice, which, you know, like I said, is something that's really personal. And so I'd spent a lot of the flight, you know, just looking like I was scribbling across it, you know, pages for hours, because that's exactly what I was doing. So it was as we were coming in for landing that the person next to me started the conversation and said something along the lines of, well, you're probably going to hit me for saying this, which already, you know, you're in for something, but, you know, what are you doing? Or are you like most women keeping a diary? And I thought, wow, like that dismisses.
Are you like most women?
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Exactly. So it just, yeah. it really felt, I was like, okay, straight out of the gate, you know, something that feels personal and important has been belittled. But I think at this point in my life and at this point in being involved in different realms of communication, I thought, well, I wouldn't say game on necessarily. That sounds a little too light, but like, all right, here's where we are. Let's do this thing.
And so what did you say?
I said, you know, this is something that is pretty personal to me. And I explained some of what I shared with you. Like, this is something I started in college and as a way to get to know myself a bit more. I don't think I use those terms, but just, you know, kind of thinking through being more intentional, also a term I didn't use, but, you know, just sharing like this is something that I'm doing. And that did not seem to really make much of an impact. It was more, I think his goal, if, you know, from my impression was just to open the door to a conversation.
So it seemed like he wanted to have a conversation. Inelegant as his opening statement had been.
Exactly, exactly.
And in that moment, so this is the moment where you decide, all right, am I going to do this? You said it was like game on for you, but was there any part of you that was like, it is late, we're landing, I don't know what this guy has got to say, but like, I'm either going to shut him down or
it's funny.
Him.
Yeah, It's really never my goal to shut someone down. I shouldn't say never. I mean, always and never are big words, but rarely.
It's incredibly admirable, I have to say.
Well, or just I am very much a pacifist. I shy away from confrontation. So I wouldn't come in that way. And I think that it's, truly like we are both just freshly back from the Braver Angels convention. And the whole purpose of the organization is depolarization, recognizing the value in being heard and feeling understood and all that, the space that opens up. So that was my mindset, even as I was like so tired. And maybe part of it too, again, we're strapped in a metal tube. If I make someone angry, I'm stuck. I'm still strapped in until the seatbelt sign goes off. So that might have also been, I don't want to sound like someone who's like so benevolent. Part of it might have been a little bit of self-preservation.
So you explained to him, this is what I do. Mm-hmm. He didn't seem to be like, oh, that's great, but where did the conversation go from there?
It went to a lot of topics, and it's something that I've been reflecting on, and I almost wonder, I mean, we're flying into DC, which means people could be going into the city where it's predominantly blue, or could be going out into Virginia, which is predominantly red. And if I had to guess, I think he was probably going out to a red zone, and he may have looked at me and assumed I was going to a blue zone. So I almost feel like there were different topics that he was throwing out, hoping that it would somehow rile me up.
So you had the impression that he was maybe looking for not a fight, but sort of, it felt like he was looking for some sort of political conversation?
Or just a reaction, or just kind of ruffling feathers. And what he doesn't know, like, I grew up in Texas. I grew up in a really red spot. My family is all shades of the political rainbow, and it takes a lot to get to get me flustered. Again, working on my side was the fact that I was really tired, which could go either way, but it might have just been, there we were. But he started talking about the alphabet, and in the sense of like, this alphabet of acronyms. And I thought, is it CSR? Is it DEI? Is it, all these different letters that we throw around. He was talking about LGBTQIA and talked about how folks in the transgender community, to in his opinion, were just whining about things. And and I thought, as I said to him, like, I have never felt like I'm in a body that's not consistent with who I am. I was born female. I've grown up as a woman. I've never felt anything different. But I do have people in my family who are transgender. I have dated someone whose child was questioning. And so having seen that, it reinforced for me, I don't know what that feels. I do see, though, how their parents really struggle. I don't pretend for a second to have any of the answers, but just kind of wanted to give some space to say, that there's experiences outside of our own that we can't understand. And that it was interesting, because we then, kind of moved away from that. And that's where I think I got the impression that it wasn't that he was wanting to really talk about any particular issue. It was more like, can I throw out different things like, this alphabet and these people who are whining, and see if he could get me a little more upset.
Okay. So I think a lot of us have been in a situation where we feel like our conversation partner just wants to push our buttons, or trying to get a rise out of us. And a lot of us will just decide that conversation isn't worth happening. But it sounds like you made a choice to kind of stay in that uncomfortable zone where he was trying to ruffle your feathers. And what was your intent in continuing to engage?
I think at that point, I mean, we were coming in for a landing. So this would have felt, I think, different had we just been taken off and I had hours ahead. I mean, there was an end point, and I knew we would be deplaning, in the not too distant future. So that was helpful. I think I was curious just to hear him out and hear different perspectives. And I feel really grateful that the past few years I have been moving around the country as a digital nomad. And so I have some practice now in jumping between different bubbles, if I can put it that way, in the country, having very different conversations that I wouldn't were I to stay in one community. And so I think it truly comes from a place of curiosity. I think the more we understand, quote unquote, the other side or other perspectives, the better off we are. And so this was a chance, all I had to do was sit there and just hear, like, how does this person think? What's going on in his world?
To what end? What was the point, ultimately?
I think a lot about the importance of people feeling heard. And it felt like, personally, I could say, you know what, I am way too tired for this nonsense. And, I need to get back to my letter or whatever it would be. Some folks would say, heck yeah, that's called having boundaries. To me, that just felt rude. And it just felt like, I'm here. And I really lean into that curiosity of, what's going on here? And as I think back on it, I feel a bit sad for him. And I think that might be something that people may disagree with me on that. But the things that came out in little bits and pieces, I thought, I think he's just suppressing everything. I think he's staying numb. And he mentioned that we did find an area of agreement. Thinking back to the COVID era, apparently in his line of work, a lot of people were laid off and other people stayed on and worked ungodly amounts of hours. And we agreed, that sounds like there's a lot of greed. There's a lot of greed in the world. We agreed that people should have a fair shake in life. And I think that he doesn't feel like he's had one, which is interesting. I don't know enough about his circumstances, so I won't guess. And now he's there, traveling for reasons I don't know, and maybe feeling really lonely and really angry. And if there can be even a short conversation where he feels a little heard, or he feels like he can say these things and not stir somebody up, maybe he realizes, like, that's not really a smart thing to say. Maybe I can be a little bit more authentic and a little bit more vulnerable, which is terrifying to people, right? And so it just felt like, I left the conversation feeling like I showed up. I was willing from the get-go to be a little bit vulnerable. And, it didn't, I don't feel any harm. I don't feel it like it didn't hurt me personally. And I think that's important. There could be things where, that he could have hit a little closer to home. And I would have been like, this is really not a conversation that I feel I can have. But we never got there. Just, staying in that place of curiosity and openness, kind of ready to redirect or shut down if I needed to, but just kind of seeing, like, what does this person need to say right now? Do they need to feel heard? And then, as soon as the seatbelt sign came off, pop off and head out the door.
So Piper Hendricks, as we wrap up here, your day job is helping advocates and individuals and advocacy groups to better communicate their values and their stories so that they can bring change. Is there anything that connects between what we've been discussing here, this skill that you exercised in that uncomfy moment, and the work that you do?
Yeah, no, I really appreciate the question. And yes, I mean, a key part of our approach at Stories Change Power is to bridge divides in our work. I think it's easy in advocacy to inadvertently deepen divides, speaking only to a group of people and sometimes about another group of people, or speaking in really broad terms. And anyone who doesn't feel the way that we do, is an idiot and not remembering the humanity of the other side. And so that's something that's really key to us. And this was one really small example of prioritizing and remembering the humanity of someone in front of us, and that nobody is, nobody's a lost cause. And that is something I think that this exchange was an example of showing up with that decency, even when it was a little bit uncomfy.
Piper Hendricks is the founder and CEO of Stories Change Power. It's a nonprofit that helps advocates, individuals, and groups tell their stories, understand the power and the importance of their stories, to figure out what their stories are, and then tell those so that their voices can be heard, so that their calls for change can be effective. So you can find them online at storieschangepower.org. Piper, I'm so glad we encountered one another at Braver Angels, and thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you, Julie. It's really been a joy to be with you.
And thank you for getting uncomfy with us today. You know, I really loved Piper's comment that she was willing to have that uncomfortable conversation, partly because she knew that they were landing before too long, so she didn't have to stay in it forever. And I think that's one of the things that often keeps me from being willing to stay open and curious, to kind of stick with that discomfort, because I worry about, like, well, gosh, if I go there, is it ever going to end? Like, you know, it feels like I'm opening this Pandora's box. But with these uncomfy moments, we've seen a lot of instances where there is, you know, we don't have to commit forever. Just for the next 10 minutes, maybe just till the seatbelt light goes on. I'd love to hear if you've had an uncomfy moment on a plane and how that's gone for you, or any instance where you've chosen to stick with it. You can share your stories with us at uncomfy@byu.edu. And in the meantime, be sure to check out my other podcast, Top of Mind, where we explore tough topics in ways that can help us to practice this skill of, for just the time that you listen to the podcast, staying open and curious and willing to explore perspectives that might challenge you. Top of Mind is a great companion to Uncomfy, so I'd love to have you add it to your podcast queue. You can find it on Spotify, YouTube, and Apple. Uncomfy is a BYU radio podcast. Samuel Benson produces it, and the team includes Enrique Prado, James Hoops, and Sam Payne. Our theme music was composed by Kelsey Ney. I'm Julie Rose. Can't wait to get uncomfy with you again next week. Hey there, it's Julie. Talking politics is deeply uncomfy for so many of us right now, which is why we're bringing you lots of stories along those lines. And I want to point you in the direction of another show called A Braver Way with Monica Guzman. She literally wrote a book on how to have conversations about politics in polarized times. And it was a big influence on my own willingness to start getting uncomfy. So over on her podcast, A Braver Way, Monica introduces us to people across the political spectrum who are doing it too. I can't stop thinking about a recent episode that featured a college student who created a club at his campus at the University of South Florida to host weekly cross-partisan discussions on the hot-button issues of the day. He talks about how hard it was and also how rewarding. And every time I listen to A Braver Way, I feel more excited to get out there and engage with perspectives that challenge me. So check it out at braverangels.org/abraverway. Or just search for A Braver Way wherever you get your podcasts. I think you're going to love it.